if we could have the house lights up so that I can see this amazing group. There you are. You guys look beautiful this morning. Hopefully you get some pictures with each other. Thank you for bearing and trudging through the rain, even though it's not too hard to do. I know that it still can be a challenge after experiencing amazing days of no rain for how long? But in any case, we find ourselves here celebrating Christmas. Who in here likes Christmas? All right, who loves Christmas? Yeah, one of my favorite times of year. Definitely one of the greatest holidays to celebrate with family. We've got the fire here. I wish that was a real fire so that you can kind of warm up. Some of you are shaking your heads, yes. I'm more of a warm-bodied person, so I don't necessarily need to have the fire. So the picture actually does me good. But in any case, I love the season of year where we're able to gather around a table, we're able to gather around a living room, spend some time with those that we love, just being able to experience something that has been provided for us. When we recognize the true meaning of Christmas, there's gifts upon gifts upon gifts that keep on coming from the one gift of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to get into the Word just a little bit this morning, and we're not going to go through your typical Christmas scenarios. We will read through some of the Christmas elements, but today I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you. And for those of you that came here not even knowing why you came, somebody just invited you here, I know that God has a divine appointment for you. And so we're going to pray together, and we're just going to dive into the Word of God because it changes us, it transforms us. Do you believe that? All right. Father, we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you have given. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate the birth of your dear Son. Jesus, we honor you in this house this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would open our eyes to see you, each and every one of us, God, that you would open our eyes to see Jesus in greater measure this morning for all that you are, for all that you have done, for the joy that you bring, for the life that you give. Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear what your Spirit would be saying to us as individuals, as a church. Lord, as your church around the world, God, open up our hearts to receive revelation because we know without revelation we cannot be changed, God. So we want the revelation. We want more than just understanding and knowledge. God, we want your revelation that will give us the keys to unlock the truths of your heart and empower us for this life you've called us to live. Holy Spirit, anoint this word this morning. Captivate us and transform us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement with that, shout amen with me. Amen. Well, again, it is so good to be with you. We know that around this time of year, there's so many different things swirling to distract and captivate us and to cause our hearts to be honestly full of anxiety and full of all kinds of things because we find ourselves getting caught up in doing things that we really don't have to do, but we feel like we do. You understand what I'm saying? How many of you have got a long list of gifts that you've been going around trying to check off for family members and different things? And it's not, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a negative in and of itself. But we find ourselves feeling like there's this have to inside of us because of the culture that we live in. But I want to remind you first and foremost that you literally have opportunity and available to you everything that you need. In Christ, wrapped up in a baby, wrapped up in God, incarnate, in flesh, is literally everything that you need. Everything that we need for life and godliness, he has provided. We celebrate the birth of Christ during this season, but I can't help but move past just the birth because his birth just signifies the eternal promise. The whole theme of today's service and celebration, it's been a journey to Christmas these past several weeks, but today we hit the mount, we hit the pinnacle of celebrating the everlasting promise. The everlasting promise of God. Why is it an everlasting promise? Because before the foundations of the world, a promise was set in motion. Jesus was going to come before the foundation of the world. He existed then, But he was going to come in the perfection of time, in the fullness of time. He would fulfill the promise of God that came in Genesis 1 that would right the wrongs of humanity. In Genesis 1, we read that in the beginning, God created everything that was made. And in six days and on the seventh day, he rested. How many of you could use some rest today? Let me remind you, that's available to you. In fact, the Sabbath isn't just one day a week. The Lord calls us through what he provides to live every day in Sabbath rest. Every day in peace. Every day in joy. All the things that he brings is not just here for Christmas or on Easter. It's here for us, present for us every day. But after he rested, do you realize that nothing was created? Everything was created up to that point. When he rested, everything that was created, that would be created, was done and was complete. Everything was created in its kind. All seeds were developed. Everything was there. Until the fullness of time, when Jesus was born, and then he lived and died, went to the cross, and was resurrected on that third day, there was something different that changed. There was a new creation that was available. There was the availability for us to become what we call, and Scripture calls, born again. The born again experience that allows all things that were in the past to fall away and everything to become new. There was no creation from the beginning of time until that point when everything changed and you had the ability, all of us have the ability to come to faith in Christ and receive new creation. New creation. There's something significant as we dive into this story. How many of you enjoy the story of Mary and the journey that she went through? I see a few of you shaking your heads. Man, it's okay to enjoy the story of Mary. There was Joseph along with Mary. And just like most of us, he needed an angel to slap him aside the head to say, it's okay, this is God's will. Granted, she had a full-on visitation. He had a dream. Either way, we won't pick sides here. The important thing is how inspiring it is to the challenge that she faced. Just to give you an understanding here before we actually read it, you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We'll go there in just a second. And I won't keep you long this morning. But Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, right? She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. This is just a premise before we read it. And when she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, it was in order to reveal Jesus. We know that the Word of God, when it's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, reveals Jesus. And likewise, when the Holy Spirit comes upon a surrendered believer, guess what? We reveal Jesus. What I want you to see as we read this account of Mary is the understanding that everything that she goes through is everything that we go through. The miracle that took place in her womb is the miracle that takes place inside of every believer in Jesus Christ. Mary is considered highly favored of the Lord according to the message from the angel, and I don't want to take away from that, nor do I want to add too much to that. We know that society can do that. Certain religions will do that. I'm not trying to add too much or take away. We know that she is highly favored. But the same miracle of the Holy Spirit being made manifest through you and me is the same miracle that took place with Mary. It's the Spirit of God coming upon the natural in order to reveal Jesus. You guys know that eternity is the cornerstone of all reason. I'm giving you several thoughts, and I want to bring this together, but we will in just a second. Eternity is the cornerstone of all reason. What do I mean? I mean that if you don't have an eternal perspective and eternal mindset, nothing in life will make sense. Everything in life will be chasing after the temporal. Everything in life will seemingly not make sense. It won't fulfill you. It won't entertain you for long. It will keep you running around in circles. But if you have an eternal perspective, everything changes. Everything changes. the false conclusions go away. For example, Mary, again, I mentioned, is called highly favored of the Lord. If she lost sight that she was highly favored of the Lord, do you think she would have went through everything that she was about to go through? Think about it. Look at her circumstances. Joseph wants to divorce her and not follow through with the wedding. Herod wants to kill her and her son. The scandal of her being a mother and an illegitimate child looks anything like anything but favor. Like anything but favor. You're highly favored. Okay, you're going to be in this small town where everybody knows your business, and you're going to be impregnated by this mystical God that, of course, all of them are supposed to be serving, but still, it sounds crazy. You're going to be looked on as crazy. You're going to be looked on as an adulteress. And even the one that you're betrothed to will have trouble believing you. And he will want to put you away quietly and divorce you before you're even fully married. There's a scandal going on, but yet the angel called her highly favored. This is what I mean. When it's an eternal mindset and God speaks, you begin to take on something and realize that there's creative power in the Word of God when it comes to you. Whether it comes through an angel, whether it comes through the Word right here, whether it comes through a minister of the gospel, whether it comes through any one of the beloved. There's a way in which God speaks and he identifies and he gives identity to his creation. And Mary had that opportunity to either believe God that she was to be highly favored or to believe her circumstances. You might be facing some incredible circumstances this morning. You might be saying, you know what? I don't see life full of all these things on this painting here this morning. I don't see truth. I don't see love. I don't see joy. I'm having trouble worshiping this morning because my life doesn't look like what I thought it was going to be. There's a disparity between my expectation and my hope and what I'm living in the present. But can I tell you, your present doesn't dictate your future. God dictates your future. If you surrender to his plan and have an eternal mindset this morning, everything can be completely different. If you know what he says about you, we've been talking over several weeks about the identity we have as sons and daughters of the Most High God. There's a culmination here where the Son of God comes to earth. We're going to get in the Word so you can see it for yourself. But he was revealed, and now all creation is longing for the sons of God to be revealed. All of us. All of us. Let me just say a couple things about favor, because we need to understand this. Favor isn't fair. I learned that a long time ago. In fact, my old pastor used to say, favor ain't fair, friend. Just alliteration on that F. But favor ain't fair. But favor on your life will reveal issues in the people around you. Do you know that? It's always one of the bigger challenges when you're experiencing favor on your life. Everybody doesn't know what you've gone through to experience that point of breakthrough or that point of favor. But when you go through it, it reveals things not only in you, but mostly the people around you. People begin to change when they see you experiencing the favor of God. Perhaps it's because you're experiencing the very things that they are hoping to see in their life. Maybe it's, God, why are you moving and blessing so-and-so when I've been here for year after year crying out for this very same thing? I've cried out for this baby. I've cried out for this child. And it hasn't come yet, but this person seemingly, they've got 7 kids. How is it possible? How is that fair? There's so many different things that we come into the world with, and we have these expectations of this is fair and this is not fair. But can I tell you, only with an eternal mindset will we ever understand these things. Will we ever understand true favor? The other part is our ability to carry favor determines how much favor we will receive and continue to walk in. How many of you know you can lose favor? I'm going to jump ahead just for a second to say, even Jesus himself had to grow in favor with God and with man. Do you recognize that that's in the Bible? Now, we can understand Jesus growing in favor with man because he had to grow in favor with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious craziness, his own family, Herod, you know, Pilate. He had to try to grow in favor. There were certain things, of course, that he was destined to the cross. But nonetheless, it's easy to think he had to grow in favor and grow in stature in that way. But Jesus himself as God also had to grow in favor with God. If that's true, then how much more true is it of us? That we need the favor of God in our lives. We need the blessing of God in our lives. And I'm not just talking about all the good things, all the good feels, all the large bank accounts and the great cars in the driveway. I'm not talking about the things this morning. I'm talking about the favor of God that allows his anointing to be upon your life. That in the midst of any circumstance, in the midst of any struggle, you can know that you have the power of Christ living inside of you and you are at rest. You are at peace. That's the gift of God that comes through Christ in the place of darkness, in a dark world where they have not heard a word from God for 400 years, Christ comes on the scene. And Jesus comes on the scene every time at the perfect moment. We've heard it time and time again. We've shared it here before. We know that God is not just the 11:59 God. Sometimes he's the 2 a.m. God after the time has passed, but he does something miraculous that reverses everything and brings life out of death. Jesus coming is miraculous. Being born again is miraculous. The fact that he could take us from who we were and make us who we are now and who we're going to be is simply nothing short of miraculous. I don't know where you're at in that journey this morning, but can I tell you, you are a miracle walking. If you're alive today, you are a miracle walking. Just real quick, because somebody else needs to hear this. When there's favor on your life, you don't have to explain it. And you don't have to apologize for God granting you favor. You don't. Let me just say it this way. I hate religion and I hate fake, just inauthentic expressions. And sometimes we find ourselves in it because we don't know what to do. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, you know, somebody... We had an amazing celebration this morning. The drum line, I mean, doing everything, the dancers, the singers, the children. I mean, there was amazing things that were taking place today. When somebody tells you, you did an amazing God, please don't just simply say, oh, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. We tend to say that, but that's that religious thing. Let's be real this morning. It wasn't that good. If Jesus was singing, it would be a whole lot better. Things would be created in the atmosphere. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying it was good, but it wasn't that good. So don't say it was Jesus, because you're discrediting him. And you're trying to do it in a way that says I'm humble and I'm being, you know. No, just say thank you. Just say thank you. Don't apologize. Your role then is to take whatever anybody gives to you, and in secret, you lay that crown before the feet of Jesus in worship, and you say, Lord, this isn't mine, this is yours. This is yours. That's how we operate in that way. We don't allow ourselves to be puffed up with pride. No, we continually come and surrender back to the King, and we just simply say, God, you are so good. And you allow each other to bless one another. And the Bible says that in the last days, even as you see the day approaching, you ought to encourage one another more and more and more and more. It's okay to do so, and it's okay to receive it, because you're going to need it. All right, we're actually going to get into this. This everlasting promise that I won't keep you long. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Let's look at the unqualified woman of Mary that is called qualified by God. Anyone feel unqualified this morning? It's okay. I hope you feel that way. Doesn't mean that's who you are. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Hold on a second. Let's just pause there. Can you imagine this? First of all, just being in utter shock that an angel is standing before you, let alone he's telling you, don't be afraid, rejoice. And he'll go on to say, you're going to give birth to a son. I don't know about you moms in here, but when I saw my wife, she didn't rejoice during that pregnancy a whole lot. She rejoiced when the baby came. But the process with God is always this. You rejoice first. You rejoice before you see the birth. You rejoice before you see the manifestation of the miracle. And that's why the angel comes and he speaks the first things out of his mouth. Rejoice. You're highly favored. I'm going to identify who you are. So that can begin to create something inside of you called faith. And if you link your faith with this, you'll see the full manifestation of the glory of God, the full manifestation of the promise. All right, let's keep reading. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, of course, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said of her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Thank you, Lord. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Let's pause there for a moment. Several identifications, not only for Mary, but also of Jesus. The different things that he will be called. He'll be a great God. He'll be the first thing that it says is a son of the house and an heir to the throne of King David. The next thing that it says a few verses later is that he will be Son of God. I don't know about you, but when I think about that comparison, being a son of God is a lot better than being a son of man or a son of David. As great as David was, I believe that being a son of God is that much greater. But it's interesting to see that this is here, of course, to fulfill the everlasting promise that there would be a seed that would come from the house and the root of Jesse, that would come as a son of David, that he would be prophesied to be such. So it is a fulfillment of the promise. So I'm not taking away from that. But just think, David, of all the men that had lived prior to this point, he's son of David, the one that messed up, the one that had his shortcomings a lot, the one that most of us can identify with as we read through the Psalms and realize there's lamentation, there's struggle, there's different things that you would say in modern day and age, this guy needs to see a therapist. But he finds himself flipping consistently, as we've shared before, that David always goes back to the place of eternal perspective. Nevertheless, the Lord, he is God. He is righteous. He is mighty. He's a man of war. He's the Lord of hosts. He will deliver. He will not forsake. You hear the verbiage that comes forth from the heart of David, the one that says that he, like Israel, is the apple of God's eye, that he is one that is near to the Lord's heart, a man after the Lord's own heart. Whether you want to be like David or Mary this morning, I know that we need the favor of God. I want there to be a legacy on my household and my children that they can be proud to say that, my son can say, I am my father's. I am a son of my father. It's mixing up in my head, but I think you know. I am my father's son. That's the way that it needed to come out. That he'd be proud to say that. Not just for being earthly proud, but because the Spirit of God and the blessing and the favor of God is on our household. I look around this room and I see so many households represented. We need the favor of God on our homes, on our children, on our children's children. We need the favor of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. In the midst of great darkness, we need the favor of God that allows us to walk through the fire and not get burned, that allows us to see things as they truly are with an eternal perspective, with an eternal heartbeat. Let's continue reading. Some of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Verse 36, leading to those verses. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Just alluding in a quick line that there's a miracle right there. Another miracle in the midst of the miracle. This is the way God works. What's that song that goes around? Miracles on miracles. You know, on top of miracles, that's usually talking about the little things that we don't really recognize are miracles. But there's miracles upon miracles that God brings. When his word is coming forth, you better believe that it's going to be better than you thought it was going to be. If there's one thing I know about God, he's so much better than we think. It says in verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. How many of you have that written somewhere? How many of you have that on a card, on your mirror? Or you know and you declare that, for with God, nothing will be impossible. These things that man said could not be done. This woman could not have a child. There's no way a virgin can give birth to a son. It's the miraculous power of God. With God, nothing is impossible. If you look into that original language, for with God, nothing will be impossible, it breaks down to the very fact that no word that comes from God, no word that comes from God could ever be kept from happening. When you read that verse, for with God, nothing, no thing, no rhema, no word that comes, no fresh word that comes from God's mouth. You know there's two different words in the scripture. There's rhema and there's logos. Logos is that which is written, that which is already there. But then there's the rhema word which comes, and it is the active word. It's the angel coming and speaking to Mary. This is the fresh word out of the throne room of God. This is the daily bread. This is the fresh bread right now to you. When God speaks something over you, and it's fresh from his throne, there is nothing that can stop it from happening. That's what you need to understand, because I'm declaring some things over you right now, whether you recognize it or not. With God, nothing is impossible. For with God, everything that he's called you to do, everything he's called you to be, it will not be impossible because God himself has spoken it over you. The same creative power that created the world is in the words of God. Whether it's spoken by God himself out of the clouds or by an angel carrying his words or me or Toby or whoever speaking God's words, Dr. Peters, Steve, anybody. When you speak the words of God, it carries the same authority and the same weight as it does in God's mouth. That rhema word comes with God's word. Nothing will be impossible. I share this with you because we need to hear a fresh word from God. For you individually, you need a fresh word from God. You need a fresh word from God. I need a fresh word from God. And we can't simply go about this Christmas season thinking, oh, I know this story. I know the baby in a manger. Isn't he cute? He's not just cute. He's the God of all creation. He's the one that will come back on the clouds with fire in his eyes and a sword in his hands, and he will come back victorious, reigning as a king, a God, mighty, mighty God. As we mentioned last week, mighty God, powerful God. We need a fresh word that will allow us to push through the mess and the distractions and the foolishness of the holiday season and see what he wants us to see, to become who he wants us to become. And at the root of that, it's becoming a son of God. It's becoming a child of God. It's becoming an ambassador of the king. Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let me commend to you that if the Lord speaks something to you, even though you may have doubts, just like Mary had doubts and questions in the midst of it coming to her, allow yourself to come to that place of faith and surrender where you say, "Nevertheless, let it be according to your word." When God says something totally ridiculous to you according to the natural, that's when you should get excited, because that's part of the kingdom. If you're not living in such a way right now that there isn't something so big in front of you that you could never do in your own flesh, you could never do in your own experience or your own effort or your own strength, then you need a fresh word from God, because every time he speaks, he gives you something that will scare you spitless and will cause you to not be able to do it unless he comes. Unless he does it. Unless he brings forth that supernatural power, unless he comes and brings the miraculous, unless he's in that place where he can receive all the glory for it, because that's how he designs our circumstances. You could be complaining about your circumstances right now, but let me remind you of something. Your circumstances may very well be the very setup that God has to bring forth a miracle. I'm not saying we don't make foolish decisions at times. I'm not saying we don't overcharge our own accounts too sometimes for foolish reasons. I'm not saying we don't make poor decisions. But what I am saying is most of our circumstances, we can believe that God is a sovereign God and he causes all these things to work together. And even in the midst of our foolish decisions, a surrendered life to the heart of God, he still works all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. This is the message of Christmas. The gifts that he brings are eternal. When he came to settle the score once and for all. We mentioned a few weeks ago to pay a price that we could never pay, and to pay with his very own blood. Jesus is not up in heaven right now wondering, "Oh, did I forget something to nail to that cross 2,000 years ago that I should have?" No, there wasn't one thing left. Every single part of the atonement was done on that cross 2,000 years ago. Set in motion as this babe coming in the flesh. God stepping down out of heaven. The amazing divine bow so that we could experience true life. Jesus said, "I came to give life and life more abundantly." That means life not according to the world. Life not according to what's accepted by the world. The world says it's okay to be depressed. It's okay to keep on seeking therapy. It's okay to I'm not against therapists. I believe in counseling. I believe in these things. But can I tell you, our culture right now just wants to medicate. It does not want to get deliverance. Our culture right now just wants to keep on putting band-aids on things when we have the miraculous power of God, the word of God that will completely set free and restore us if we really get into it. You may need help with some brothers and sisters to get you there, to help you steer through the mess and the clouds and the barrage of things that have come against you. But guess what? There is deliverance available to all, because he died once for all and covered it all. He covered it all, the gifts that he gives. This is why there's joy at Christmas. The joy isn't just some idea that, okay, there's a way of escape. I can punch my ticket and get to heaven once I leave this miserable earth. No, there's joy unspeakable right now and full of glory for those that enter into his presence and receive his gift that he gives in the present. He came in the flesh to dwell among us as a very example to let us know, I want to be present with you while you are alive right now. Right now. My provision that I have for you, it's right now. Just reemphasizing, there has to be an aspect of the service that we have before the Lord, that only He can do it through us, in us and through us. I'm wrapping up and I'm going to call the worship team to come. You know, during these holiday seasons, there's so much that we could do to, quote unquote, look good, right? We could host a meal. We could go to a soup kitchen. We could do some things that outwardly do good, right? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. We should, and we actually have. What I am saying is that you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a born-again believer in order to do good things. There's many foundations around right now that are doing good things, providing homes for people, providing different things. There's good things that are going on. But can I tell you, entering into 2024, this is for a Fire Church family, and if you're visiting with us, this is for the church. This is for all of us. It's available to all of us. But can I tell you, I don't want to do another thing if it's void of the literal miraculous power of God. If I can do it in my own strength, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. It doesn't mean I'm going to be an undisciplined person. No, we'll still do the things that we know we ought to do and use wisdom in the way that we live our lives. But I'm talking about experiencing the very heart of God, that what I do, everything I set my hands to, the things that I literally put my energy into, it's into surrender and submission to the will and word of God. Because at the word of God, that's where this favor lies. He's not going to put his favor on something that you can do in your own strength. He's going to put his favor on something that you have to do with him. And that's why we need the favor of God this morning, to partner with him, to partner with him. The Lord's looking for people who come into agreement with what he has. There's this agreement we make when the Lord of God declares something. There's a display of what God wants to do in the earth. To read one more scripture to you as we close. And I mentioned this in previous weeks. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but we give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer to those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of God compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's why Christ came, to reconcile the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He came as a baby to become sin for us. He came as a baby so that we could be clothed in his righteousness. All the things about Christ, none of it we deserve. Humanity was not good enough at that point in time that he would send his son and say, oh, they're so good, let me send my son now. The Father wasn't in heaven doing that. He was saying, they need me so much, and I love them so much that I want them to be reconciled back to us. And this morning, you may find yourself in a place where you don't know anything that I'm talking about, but you know that there's a disparity between your heart and your relationship with a God who loves you. There's a difference in knowing that there is a God and in living with and in relationship with that God. There's a difference in knowing that Christ came to earth and we have a celebration around Christmas, and knowing the everlasting promise that there is eternal life available to everyone that would call upon his name. In the name of Jesus, in the surrender to this man who gave his life for us, there is freedom. There's forgiveness of sin. There's joy. There's the availability to unlock a way for you to become a son or a daughter of God. No longer living according to the world's races, according to the beaten path of those that find themselves depressed and demoralized. There's freedom in this house today. Would you stand with me all around this room? Jesus came to become broken so that we might become whole. He came empty so that we could become full. He became despised so that we might be celebrated. He was rejected so that we could be accepted. He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. His influence comes to bring us peace this morning. And I want every eye closed. You can bow your heads or keep them held high, because regardless, the Lord sees you today. And he doesn't see you as somebody that is worthless. He sees you as someone that is full of value and full of treasure. And the word of the Lord to you, coming to you this morning, is that I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with a pure joy, and I want to make peace with you. I want to make reconciliation with you. That which is broken and disjointed in your life, that which isn't working because I am not there at the center, I want to see it restored. Maybe you've given your life to me in the past, but you've wandered and you've strayed. You found yourself here today, and the Lord's beckoning you to come back, beckoning you to come home. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never called upon the name of Jesus and said, yes, Jesus, you are King, you are God, and I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be King of my life. That means I'm no longer Lord. I'm no longer on the throne. I'm no longer making the decisions, but I'm submitting my very will to you. I'm submitting my very life to you. As scary as that could be, the unknown, I want to jump into this, God, and receive this gift that you are giving. Today is your day. Today is your day for salvation. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of peace. Today is your day to see restored joy. If you're in one of those two places, I want, with every eye closed, I just want you to shoot your hand up right now. You say, my heart's beating out of my chest because I know I need to have restored fellowship with God. Or you're saying, hey, you know what? I've never had a relationship with God, and I need to give my life to him because what I'm doing is not working. Just shoot your hand up in this room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. I see those hands. Saints of God, be praying right now. Be praying right now. We're going to pray for these first, and then we're going to end in song and celebration. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will come for each of you individually to restore joy and give fresh peace to your hearts by the power of His Holy Spirit as we declare the truth of His Word back to Him. But those of you that raised your hand, right now is your moment of surrender. Right now is your moment of change. You walked in one way, but you're leaving different. You're leaving on a different path with a different divine destiny. Today is your Mary moment. Today is your Mary moment. I want you to just simply confess unto God with your heart what's going on, what He's revealing to you, and I'll help you. You can say things like, Jesus, Lord, you know where I've been. Lord, I know that I am a sinner in need of saving, in need of your grace. I've tried to do things on my own, but Lord, I don't want to do it any longer. If you've walked with Him before, say, Lord, Lord, you know that I've strayed, but I know that you never forsake me, you never leave me, and you've always run hard after me. Lord, I surrender my will to you again. I recommit my life to you. I recommit my life of belief and service unto you because I don't want to just do things the same way. I need you, God. I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I choose today to make you King and Lord of my life.